One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
And thanks so much for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And as always, I'm not alone. This time, I'm joined in studio by my new co-host, Hazy Cat, sitting here
That's
to
me.
My right. What's up, Hazy Cat?
I'm doing peachy keen. I'm doing good, except I got the sniffles. My allergies are driving me nuts.
Oh, my goodness. It's been rough, right?
Man, I wish this is something we complain about all the time because it's affected me my entire life. I like it when I go up to like Colorado, I can breathe.
Or you go to the coast, it's gone.
Yeah, I know. Around here, man, it's the pollen.
And you would think you would be used to where you lived. You wouldn't be allergic to other places, but
right.
It doesn't work that way.
You would think. You would build an immunity to it. I do not get it.
No.
I just realized, I learned something new the other day, though, that—
Just the other day?
Depending on what you're allergic to, like some people are allergic to pollen, they might also be more sensitive to other things that you eat. And I don't know what is the associated this, but like my wife, she buys watermelons and cantaloupes and stuff this time of year because they're awesome. But I'm not a real big fan of cantaloupe. And the only reason is when I eat it, it makes my throat feel like it's swelling up.
I hate it.
That's the only reason. The flavor is good, but I have some kind of allergic reaction. So on a whim, I just kind of Googled it. And it said if you're allergic to pollen, you'll have a propensity for something like that. I'm like, huh, I never knew that.
If you get killed by a cantaloupe.
Well, it doesn't swell up that bad. It just feels like my throat's like itchy, but I can tell it has an effect.
I got you, yeah.
So I just kind of steer clear of that. Thank God I don't have any shellfish allergies or peanuts.
Do you like watermelon? Do you like fire melon and air melon?
No, but I love watermelon. I love it. If it's perfectly ripe, it's like one of my favorite things.
Especially you like the yellow melons?
The yellow ones?
No, Ella melons, because you got the water Malone,
no.
Fire Malone,
I just
Earth
like watermelon.
Malone, and Wind Malone.
I don't like those. I just like watermelon.
And Post Malone.
I don't like him either, even though he's from here. Not a big fan. I don't understand.
I like Post Malone. He just looks like he smells funny.
Does it look like he bathes?
Yeah, because sometimes I saw him, I'm like, bro, take a shower. But maybe he's just that good. But he's a super nice guy.
Yeah, he absolutely seems like a really nice guy. My kids love him. I'm just not into that kind of music. I'm officially
old.
Not into it.
You're officially old.
See, instead of pretending, you know, like you ever see the old guy at the bar or club or something, like I'm leaning into it. Like, what's wrong with being old?
Jorts and New Balance and
I don't
packs.
Have any jorts. I don't even know where you get those. I see people with them, though, but where do they sell those?
I will tell you, I was ahead of the curve, dude. I was rocking jorts 15, 20 years ago, man. But that's also when everybody rocked them, when they were cool. If you're still rocking them now.
My brother-in-law still rocks them.
Oh, yeah. He's got the jorts.
I don't know where he gets them. I remember when I was a kid, I never remember my dad actually owning an actual bathing suit. He just cut jeans off.
I never
short
remember
enough
seeing your
to where the pockets would hang below. Yeah.
Your dad's bathing suit was Wranglers with the legs cut out.
That's it.
Like all, and he cut them out where it was like
like Daisy Duke.
It was like South African hunting guide shorts, right? Like they come up like rugby shorts where, dude, the sky's out, thighs out style stuff. Like you think the shorts, the chubbies are good. Those old school handmade. Now, I knew he used to have a pair he would cut the back pockets out of.
I don't remember that. Now you've gone too far.
That's too much. Too much on the
Yeah, pop. We're heading out of town next week. We are going to Alabama, and I'm going with Pop-Pop. So.
Oh, the trouble.
I'm not to be too dark, but it probably is going to be like the last like a distance family trip with Pop.
Yeah.
I think. But it's just he's getting to the point where it's that's going on a trip that far is too far. Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard on him.
I mean, I remember the last time we went to Colorado with him. It was pretty tough.
He'll be stuck relegated to the Texas coast.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm fine with that.
He's the human cockroach. So I'm not worried about him going anywhere. I'm just saying long distance trips may not be in his future.
This is very true. Folks, I got to share something with you that I'd found. This was almost along the lines of missing 411, but not really. And so they found a young man. If y'all haven't seen this, let me get my glasses on. This is from iHeart.com, posted up about a missing 4-year-old was found saved after 2 days of being lost in the wilderness. Now, the reason I say it doesn't read like missing 411 is this poor little fellow was not found clean. He was not found well taken care of. This poor little fellow was out on his own. He had disappeared while playing with a dog near his house there in Montana, and he was found after 2 days of being lost up there. His name's Riker Webb, and he was reported missing on the June 3rd. And, of course, they get out and they start looking for him, and it was all Lincoln County Sheriff's officials that got out there. They brought ATVs, dogs, drones, everything. They went, pulled lakes. They said they went to Bull Lake and started with the boats. The Montana Air National Guard brought in helicopters, all of this stuff. Now, here's the weird thing. When they deployed the helicopters, the weather got real, real bad, and they had to turn back. Now, that was something that really I was like, what? It always seems funky. But again, weather's funky in the mountains, right?
Mm-hmm.
But get a load of this. So he went missing Friday the 3rd, okay?
But there's so many bad things that happen. Yes. Around inclement weather and missing people, right?
Yes.
It's strange how often that happens.
It is, yeah. So when that weather moved in, it was low ceilings, rain, and very low visibility, okay? But in that area, so they couldn't go out with the planes that are the choppers, right? Over 1/4 inch of rain fell, which is okay. It's not bad. 1/4 inch isn't like you're getting pelted. But if you're a poor little fella out there on your own, sure. It's bad enough. Then the temperature drops down into the 40s. This poor little dude spent the whole day out there in that. After Friday night, all day out there, they found him Sunday, 2.5 miles from where he went missing. Great spirits, healthy, said he was thirsty, cold, and hungry. That was it. So they got him. You can find pictures of him. So the little fella's okay. I bring it up, though, because it doesn't work like the others. It doesn't work like the missing 411. It's not like he's 8 or 9 miles. Okay.
Yeah, right.
He's not, like I said, he wasn't cleaned up. He wasn't any of this. The reason I say that is because I think that's a good buffer for how long or how far rather a 4-year-old could possibly make it in that kind of weather on his own. 2.5 miles.
2.5 miles. That seems doable.
Right. That seems like the right distance. That seems okay. It makes sense. Not 9 miles, not 12 miles, not up on top of a mountain. He was down by a river down in the valley.
And down. He went downhill. Yes. That's what's so odd about the missing 411s is they find people going up the mountain. And they're like, if you're a missing hunter and you're lost, why would you go up?
Yeah.
You would go down.
Exactly.
You know the towns are down in the valleys, right?
Yes.
So that's what's always so odd. It's like the people are confused. Check this out, Cam.
Hit me with it.
Good evening to you both.
Evening.
I've been listening to you guys since I discovered the wondrous world of podcasts.
Oh, thanks.
I'll listen to your stories at work. So much so that my coworkers will walk by and ask, any good stories today?
Tell them yes. Every time, tell them yes.
I just wanted to thank you for ridding my boredom all these years. Your podcasts have been great for scaring myself on hikes, long drives, even in my own office. So please stay radical, guys.
Oh, word.
I wanted to share a story of my own for quite some time. I grew up in a rural part of Utah. Since we lived down south in a relatively boring area, the only people we really saw were the Amish riding by on their carriages, or the occasional traveler looking for abandoned properties to explore, or we would get a good laugh at our neighbor trying to catch his runaway cows. That being said, there wasn't a lot to do. When I wasn't helping my mom or plucking my banjo, I'd often go out to the wheat fields and climb up my pop's broken down tractor. Up there, I could catch all kinds of lizards, snakes, and if I was lucky, I could see the deer walking through our wheat fields and into the bushy forest. One incredibly hot afternoon, I saw a line of deer emerge from the forest. I always watched intently because, if I was lucky, I'd get to see one with real big antlers leading the pack. I saw the oddest thing that time. Even to my 10-year-old mind, I knew that this wasn't right. The buck, in the very front of the pack, was only walking on two legs. I've seen a lot of deer on their hind legs in my day, usually when they are fighting. It looks unnatural and strained. But this buck was walking on two hind legs so casually and comfortably, arms swinging at its side as it walked along the trail, exactly like a human wearing a deer costume. Our wheat field isn't small by any means, and I saw this buck stride a good half mile, almost into the bush before returning to its four legs, and then it stared directly at me. Man, now let me tell you, I've never in my life felt so much fear. Before it met my eyes, I was watching this creature with curiosity and confusion, and I was now frozen in absolute horror. I don't know how to describe the fear and the dread that overcame me at that moment. The closest feeling I can describe it to is when you're about to get in a car crash and you can't do anything about it, but all your warning signals and fight or flight reflexes and adrenaline are going off in your head all at once. I was shaking to my core, but was unable to move from the tractor. This buck stared at me for what felt like hours, but in reality, it was most likely only a few moments. Then this creature walked into the forest along with his pack. I've never seen anything like it to this day. My mom told me that I saw a not deer, like the white man's version of a skinwalker. Turns out my cow-chasing neighbor had seen a few too. Also, his stories were much, much more scarier than mine. Whatever it was, I'm glad it went off and left me alone any longer, and I might have overdrived myself to death. Cheers, you two. Thanks for reading and always uploading awesome material. Annie. Well, another not deer sighting.
Don't be blaming that on us with the white man skinwalker. That ain't mine. That's Kyle's.
Man.
I don't want that thing. We don't want it.
It's crazy that there's so many of these not deer sightings pouring into the show.
Dude, I was never really aware of it. Yeah.
A couple years ago.
And just talking about it a few times, we have gotten a pile of people. And it's also not like, oh, I saw that 10 years ago. It's like, dude, I saw that 6 days ago.
Right?
Like, we're getting current stories.
I'm trying to remember when the
stuff.
I mean, we even have not deer action figures made.
Yeah. Charlie built one. I got it right here behind us.
Right. Very, very cool. If you have any not deer sightings, please continue to send them in. Heck, we might even be able to make a whole book just on not deer sightings.
Just not deer. Yeah, exactly. Right?
Well, let's take a break. And when we get back from the break, we're going to continue with some strange and weird stories. Stick with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. We got kind of a smorgasbord of different sightings today. We've got a whole bunch that we've been poring over lately. So we decided, why don't we just get in the studio and share some of these.
Yeah, and just discuss a little OTC stuff again.
Yeah, I've got a plethora of different stories from shadow beings to dogman sightings to encounters with missing time or possible abduction. And I know you've got a bunch of wacky and wild stuff as well. So
we covered not long ago about the idea about these flying manta rays, right?
Yeah.
These crazy things that we're seeing that doesn't really make any sense. Flying around, like upper atmosphere stuff. We don't really know what's going on. Well, there was one in Kansas recently. It says, back in the summer of 2002, of course, not the sighting, the report, a friend and I was laying on the hood of a car talking and looking up at the night sky. We're talking about the stars and personal relationship type stuff. It was a clear night in central Kansas, and the stars are very visible, and the moon had a good amount of light in the sky. As we're talking, we both pause for about 30 seconds as we see something very large flying gracefully just above the tree line. It was flying slow, and its wings, if you will, moved like that of a manta ray. The front of its head was slightly longer than what a manta ray's head looked like. But it moved slowly as well. It made absolutely no sound and produced no wind that should have disturbed the trees only about 30 foot below it. You could see through it in the same as looking through clear gelatin and make out the stars on the other side of it. I thought maybe I was tired and my mind had just imagined it. I feel tears welling up in my eyes due to the awe-inspiring event that happened, but brush the thought aside. I look to my friend sitting next to me as she's bawling and ask, "Did you see that?" I ask her if she saw something flying too. I tried to be as vague as possible to make sure we saw the same thing. And it was. Have others seen this? E.F.
See?
I like the fact, though, that she points out how moving it is, right? Like she had a physical reaction to seeing this. Now, this is what's fascinating to me. We get reports of, like, Dogman, and even reports sometimes on Bigfoot of people feeling the dread, right? Mm-hmm. Feeling some negative energy from it. Shadow beings, negative energy. We get all these crazy reports of this negative stuff. Very, very rarely do we get reports of where you feel comfortable or you feel a state of euphoria, which also could easily be evil. I mean, it could be easily trying to lull you to sleep. You don't fight back as much if you're in a euphoric state, right? It's just the way it works. But the idea that just seeing this thing and being physically moved to tears is, dude, that's a big thing just by seeing it. So it makes me like, what's that feeling already being in that moment? Now you're tuned in. It's almost like seeing a whale. Like people go, I would love to go up in the Puget Sound and see whales, right? After kayak along cool. And see that. It would be a very moving thing. I don't know what it is. Like, I don't know why I don't like the ocean, but I love whales.
Well, that's cool.
I don't know. I just think they're cool animals. But to see that is a very emotional thing. Are we looking at these manta rays like sky whales? And I like how you can see through it gelatinous. So it makes me think of like Romulan ships in Star Trek.
That's a good analogy. What could people be seeing?
There's no explanation because it sounds organic. What they describe. And then I've gotten videos that y'all have sent us on Instagram where there's like a foil-shaped looking ball, UFO orb in the sky, and there's video of it changing. Like now you can see it transform to a cube and then into a manta ray-shaped thing,
right.
And then it moves off. But like I even reported on the show, some seem to be more animal-like,
mm-hmm.
And then some seem to be more aircraft-like. It's like the aircraft are taking their shape. So I don't know. This is one of those things, upper atmosphere, whatever's going on. This stuff is, there's some very odd things that are happening right above us, not even talking about space. We're talking about in our area that's happening.
Yeah, in the atmosphere.
Yes.
Could there be some kind of biological stuff we're not aware of? Or like when it looks like you could see through it, is it trying to camouflage itself?
Like if it was at night, why does it need to be clear?
Right.
Right, especially it's in, but it's 30 foot above the trees. So what is it doing so close to the ground as well?
Well, and there's been not all of them are transparent like that. I've seen dozens of sightings where people say they saw something in the sky and it looked like a manta ray, and it had a wingspan of like 25 feet, and the darn thing flew over them.
And then we get
there
some.
They're animate about it. It was not a bat.
Mm-hmm.
Was not a goose. This was a manta ray.
And then we get some where they're like flying beside the car, and they're the size of a regular, what we know of as a manta ray. Right? They're not huge. They're just flying along the bar ditch before they go up. What if that's where some of these people go missing? These things are dipping down and eating them.
Well, yeah, I guess it's a possibility.
Right? I mean, seriously, no, like you don't know.
Man, that's crazy.
Imagine that. Imagine just bearing witness to someone all of a sudden gobbled up by an invisible flying manta ray.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good.
You know what would be? I don't think the manta rays are eating people, but I sure hope there's not like sky sharks. That's the next sci-fi movie people are going to be making, Sky Sharks.
Right. Check this out. It says, I stared into the eyes of the devil, Cam.
Same, bro.
This is hard for me to do. Just typing this is extremely difficult. I've changed a few details for the privacy of my family. However, I assure you everything else is 100% real. To start off, let me explain a few things. I've carried this story with me for over 14 years. I've never spoken about it to anyone. I have many reasons as to why, but let's just say that it has to do with who I am as a person. If you knew me, you'd understand. I'm not sure if that makes sense, but bear with me. I'm a 32-year-old man who grew up hunting and fishing in the mountains of Montana. When I say I've encountered nearly every beast we've got there, I have. I wouldn't say I'm an expert per se, but I've regularly hunted and fished, since the age of 9. I grew up on a 600-acre cattle ranch that's been in my family for 5 generations. Before I continue, it's best that I give you a description of the property and the location of the occurrence. The property consists mainly of a pasture. However, we've got about 80 acres or so that is heavily wooded and borders the Missouri River. This area is located closest to our house. The house itself sits high up on a steep hill, where it is completely surrounded by woods on the back side. The front faces the pasture. The section of the Missouri River that we lived on runs near the wooded area behind our house. The story begins on a typical summer evening. My father and mother have since moved from the ranch house, however. It is still used by my family for vacationing, hunting, fishing, etc. We still raise cattle. However, we have a guy that lives on the property full-time to care for the animals. He lives in a trailer not too far from the property. My siblings, all grown and living in their own homes, and I mainly use it during the summers, you know, to have family get-togethers. This time, in particular, we had spent the weekend fishing for trout and drinking and playing cards, you know, the usual. On the day of my encounter, I had been fishing with my oldest brother since about 6 a.m. We were doing more drinking than fishing, I'll be honest. However, somehow managed to catch 12 good-sized trout. We headed home an hour or so before sunset. A short while after we got home, I realized that I left my cell phone by the river in the cup holder of my chair. Mind you, this was 12 years ago, so I did not have a waterproof phone. Montana summers have random showers, and I was afraid my phone would get drenched. So I went inside to ask one of my siblings to walk with me to the river to get my phone. We usually use four-wheelers and carts to get around the property, but it was a nice clear night, and I felt like walking. Of course, being the family I have, nearly everyone was drunk. I myself had been hours before, however, I was completely sober by this time. My younger sister yells that she'd go with me and to give her a minute. She proceeds to grab another drink, and I realize that she expects me to wait until she finishes this new drink. Knowing my sister, I just decided to go on my own. The walk to the river should take 15 minutes. I've made this trip a million times since I learned to walk. Maybe not since then, but you get what I mean. It never takes any more or any less, just 15 minutes. It's a straightforward walk down a narrow, worn path through the woods. With me, I carried a high-powered flashlight. This thing's shine, it can shine on objects 700 yards away. and I carried a small rifle. It's Montana, after all. We've got coyotes, bears, mountain lions, all of which I've encountered in some form or another. They're more afraid of you than you are of them, but still, I wasn't ready to take any chances. The walk there was nothing out of the ordinary, at first. I heard the same animal sounds I've heard during a summer night in Montana. Nothing unusual. I continued along the path, and my head tilted up towards the black sky. The stars were out by then, and the moon had just begun illuminating everything with a pale glow. It was so beautiful. I was almost to the river when I heard a sound that froze my blood. It was the scream of an animal, almost a crying sound. It had an almost vibration to the sound. It was so loud. The scream was drawn out for a few seconds, and then it ended just as suddenly as it began. The sound seemed to come from somewhere in the woods to one side of me. It was then that I noticed the silence. There were no crickets, no call of nocturnal animal, nothing, just complete silence. I began to feel a bit unnerved and considered turning back. Then I realized that it was probably a mountain lion or a loon. If you've ever heard one of those, you'd know the cry of either one is more horrifying than the most gruesome horror film you've ever seen. I'm talking bone chilling. Don't believe it. Look up a YouTube video on the sounds. Anyways, I convinced myself to move on. I said, oh, it's just a lion or a loon. Anyways, I have a rifle to take care of that too, so no worries. I make it to the river after a few minutes and quickly locate my phone, wedged inside of the cup holder. It was then that I again noticed the silence. I thought to myself, this is odd. You see, as up in Montana, river water runs even faster than normal. There's an ever-present sound of rushing water anytime you are at or near the river. But tonight, there was only silence. I was so close to the river, yet it was silent. Alarming bells began going off, and I could feel the hair on the back of my neck stand up. Then I heard the scream again. This time, it was coming from across the river. So, I shined my torch across the river towards the direction of the sound, and it lands in a clearing. The other side of the river consists of a large clearing that goes back the span of a football field, and on all sides of the clearing, with the exception of the river, there exists a tree line of the forest. We don't own any of that land, and I've never been over there. I scan the tree lines, trying to find a reflection of eyes signaling the mountain lion that I have been listening to, but I saw nothing. I move my torch towards the side furthest near the back of the field when I move across a dark object. I initially thought it was a large tree or rock formation just a few feet beyond the tree line. When my torch crosses the object, it's completely black, almost like a void. I can't truly say it was black, though, because that would be an inaccurate description. It was darker than black, if that makes any sense. I move the line of my torch up the black void, trying to figure out if it was a plant or if it was a rock. My torch went higher off the ground as it went up the length of the massive object. It was then that my flashlight reflected two large eyes. I'll remember this moment until my death, probably even after it. To describe them is to relive it. This is difficult for me. I was so startled I nearly dropped my flashlight, but I somehow held on, my torch reflecting off the large glowing eyes. They had a bright, blinding glow. The reflection from my light cast off from the eyes of this black creature could only be described as how it feels when you look directly into the sun on a summer day. It was almost blinding. My eyes hurt. There was an intense burning sensation. I stood frozen. My body did not work. I couldn't move. I couldn't think. I just stood paralyzed with my flashlight pointing at the pair of eyes, 600 or so yards away. Suddenly, the black creature moved. I don't know if it moved to the side or towards me, or retreated further into the forest. I didn't stay around to find out. Nope, I got the hell out of there. I ran back up the path towards the house as fast as I could. Now, I'm no track runner, But the feeling of absolute terror somehow made me a marathon runner. I ran on and on. I ran more and more. Once again, I've been up and down this path my whole life. It's not that long of a distance. After what seemed like 45 minutes, I began to slow to a fast jog. My sides are on fire at this time, and it feels as if I'm about to cough up a lung. I'm shaking uncontrollably as I realize I should have been home three times over. It should not have taken this long. I assure you, while I was panicked, I knew for a fact that I had been running for over 35 minutes. It was not my fear exaggerating this time interval. I felt a sudden wave of exhaustion hit me. It felt as if I had been on my feet for days on end. My legs suddenly felt heavy as my pace immediately began to slow. I felt almost drugged. My mind began feeling groggy. I then began getting a migraine. I have dealt with chronic migraines since my teens. They are quite severe, and many episodes often leave me incapacitated. I stopped and kneeled down to catch my breath and wait for the pain to pass. It usually lasts just a few seconds or a few minutes. I start to feel less nervous as I notice that the woods around me sound the way they always have. The forest was alive again. Everything sounded normal. I could hear the call of the nocturnal animals. It has recently rained the day before, so the ground was quite soggy. I'm 6'3", 225 pounds, so my large frame began sinking into the soft ground on which I was kneeling. I stood up and walked a few feet off the trail and sat down on the trunk of a tree. I was just barely concealed from the path. I decided to rest there a few minutes until my episode passed. When I think back on this, my blood turns to ice considering I willingly sat down even after seeing what I saw across the lake. I began telling myself that perhaps I did not see what I saw correctly. Maybe those weren't eyes, and maybe it didn't move. I closed my eyes for a bit, waiting on the pain to pass. I'm listening to the familiar sounds of the nocturnal animals. I don't know how long I sat there listening before I fell asleep. I woke up with a sudden jolt. It was the silence around me that woke me up. At first, I didn't know where I was. I then remembered my cell phone, the river, and yes, the eyes. I began to stand until something in my brain orders me to freeze and remain silent. I felt the same eerie sensation I felt back at the riverbank. I held still and even forgot to breathe. The air around me was thick, silent. Not a sound could be heard. Still, I told myself, don't make a move. Suddenly, I hear a sound that is similar to a forklift running over small trees and branches. It was a loud sound of a large body moving through the trees. The snapping of branches could be heard. I cannot truly describe it as footsteps, more so a large solid object moving over trees and shrubs. I remained still from my position a few feet off the trail. I can see the path I had been on earlier. The sound gets closer. Whatever it was makes its way down the path. I watch in silent horror as the void passes through my line of vision. It's wider than it looked across the river. However, its color remains the same. Black. Darker than black. No visible features. Just a large black void. I could only see the bottom half of the creature, but I could tell that it was massive. At least 10 feet tall. I stood frozen long until after it passed. I waited in silence. As the sound of the large creature movement slowly faded away, the sounds of the forest began again. The air was no longer thick, and I could bear the song of crickets. I remained sitting for at least an hour or so. I was terrified. I'll be honest, I didn't know what to do. The creature had been moving in directions towards the river, which means it must have had to pass by me earlier when I was sleeping. That little fact messed me up the most. I'd been asleep only about 10 feet from the path. Eventually, I felt safe enough to emerge. I tore my way up the trail fast as my legs would allow. This time I made it out of the woods. I burst out of the tree line and immediately see the glow of the house and the lights. My family's still up, and my sister notices me and walks towards me. I stop and put my hands on my knees. I'm exhausted from running, sweat pouring down my face and back. My sister, who just finished tying her shoes, looks at me, eyes oddly, and says, something along the lines of, "You got the flashlight?" "What?" I said. "The flashlight, you know, so we can find your phone." Remembering, I reach in my pocket to retrieve this device. I hold it in my hand, and then I looked at her confused. She did not seem fazed at all about my absence. "Oh, you had it the whole time. I guess you didn't leave it there then. Cool. I'm too drunk to walk anyways." "What? Did I go? I went alone and I got to see," I say, holding my phone. My sister just looked at me confused. "What are you talking about? You just told me to walk with you down to the river to get your phone. I told you I had to put my shoes on." I just stared in disbelief. I quickly looked down at my phone. It was 8:25 p.m. I had only been gone for roughly 5 minutes. Now, it takes 15 minutes to get to the lake, 15 minutes to get back, a total of 30 minutes. I did not have my phone prior to leaving. No one was looking for me because I hadn't been gone hardly. I've replayed this day over and over in my head a million times. Nothing adds up. The creature, the time lapse, the feeling of sudden tiredness that made me stop. Nothing. I never told my family. I went upstairs, undressed, and went to sleep. I got up the next morning, acted as normal as I could. I've never seen or heard the creature again. I go home to the ranch at least once a year. I still fish and hunt in the woods, just never alone. Never again. Thanks for all you do. Wow. So, like, wow. A possible time slip. And then while, like, it's like you mentioned earlier,
oh,
in Stranger Things,
mm-hmm,
it's like he was in the Upside Down, right? He had went to go get his phone, which should only take 30 minutes. But in his world, he was gone for a long time. He fell asleep. He was running. He was seeing the strange looking creature.
He's involved in an adventure and he's only missing 5 minutes.
Yeah. His sister comes down with like her shoes on. "You ready to go?" And he's like, what? "I've been gone for hours." And she's like, "You just asked me to go to the river to get your phone. Oh, you got it with you." So what is that?
That's that veil, that in between, right?
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, oh, the Upside Down. He passed through something. And yes, in his world, he was like Alice in Wonderland, right? He was gone for a long time. Man, in reality, he was gone for 5 minutes. How do you explain that? How do you prepare for that?
How do you wrap your head around it?
That's why he says it drives him crazy.
And I completely understand why.
Yeah,
I mean, like, that's one of those things. Man, that is like we always talk about the time slip. It would make you feel like you've lost your mind. It's one thing to imagine, but when you are physically running and, you know, I mean, all of this stuff, and now you've got your phone and you're like, "Wait, what are you talking about? I asked you 5 minutes ago?"
Yeah.
Like, girl, I've been at this all day.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And had run-ins with animals or creatures that aren't of this world.
Dude.
Creepy.
Yeah. Well, speaking on of this world, I want to read this to you. This is awesome. If this is jamming, I hope this happens to me. Right here. Get a load of this. It says, in 2004 in Southeast Texas, my grown daughter and I were seated in the car in late summer. The heat was rather unbearable, so we were letting the car's AC cool down the interior before we headed home from the market. Now, prior to this event, neither one of us believed in fairies or pixies or fae, anything like that. Now, we've read about such beings in folklore or in some sort of mythical setting, but what was about to happen changed us forever. Here we are in the land of rattlesnakes and armadillos. We sat talking. My back was to the side window. My daughter suddenly went very still and said, "Mom, look behind you." So very slowly I turned and I saw nothing, but suddenly I then saw it. It flew right at our front windshield, a human looking creature, approximately 5 to 6 inches long. It had gossamer like wings that spanned probably 6 to 7 inches wide, and its wings beat quite rapidly, like a hummingbird's. It was directly in front of my face. As I suddenly saw it, it poked its tiny face at me, craning toward the window, and I was in shock. Think of the last time you saw a fairy painting. You're probably remembering a creature that was wearing some sort of garment that was revealing its rather lengthy legs and its bust or chest. Yep, Tinkerbell's dress, but hers was nicer. This little creature's clothing was an amber and wood-colored costume. And before you ask, neither of us were under the influence of either alcohol or drugs. I'm saying this was a female creature due to her bust, and she was obviously very upset. Her tiny face was scrunched up in a deep frown, and although we couldn't hear her in our closed-up car, she was very sincerely giving us a lecture. She was quite angry. After she did this for several seconds, she looked over at my daughter, shook her head, and turned and flew away. "Mom, did you see what I just saw?" my daughter asked. "Yeah, I did," was all I could say. When we came out of our shock, we talked about this little creature, and we still do 17 years later. Everyone we have mentioned this to thinks we've completely lost our minds, and I might have thought it was some kind of heat-induced delirium if not for the fact that my daughter saw it also. And after this encounter, we have both been seriously watching for another event, or even someone else who might have ever seen them here in America. So far, no such luck. So I question, are there others here in the United States? I now live in West Virginia, and if they were native to this country, why doesn't anyone else here talk about them? And if they aren't, where do they originate from, and how might they have ended up in here, TW?
Wow. I love the stories of the Fae.
The Fae, right? But to see it fly in front of your window and pretty much just chew you for being whatever made it mad, and then fly off.
Yeah. I don't know, man. If I could pick an encounter, a strange sighting, I think I would like to see a Fae folk, Tinkerbell like.
Well, she's got
Dwindy.
A good point. Why don't we hear more of that? Like, we get gnome sightings, right?
Right.
But we don't get a whole bunch of, like, pixie sightings.
No, it seems to take place, like, in the UK mostly.
But let me ask you this. Like, and I had talked about it in, like, the sky serpents and all that stuff when we talked about rods. So we saw those. And when they first came out, you know, everybody was all about them. And then we realized, wait a minute, it's just the motion in the camera.
Right.
It's not really that. What if they are there? They're just not kind of neglected, looked at. Or they look or resemble so much like that of an insect that unless you really do shoot 120 frames a second and set it up out there and catch it so you can slow it down and break it down, you may not even notice them.
Right.
I don't know. Also, you don't pull them out of the grill of your car. I know, as terrible as that sounds, you don't hit any.
Right. Yeah.
So how does it operate? And what's it doing? Why is it mad at you sitting in a car? Like, I know it, most everything is about nature with them, but yeah. I want to know. Another thing, we also know that, like, the Wi-Fi signals and things are having a hard time on the bees. What if it's the same for them?
It's affecting the fairies?
Yeah, what if?
Maybe.
Right? Maybe that's that whole thing. Here's a crazy conspiracy. That's the reason it was 5G and all that was designed, to drive the fae and fairies further away from us.
Yeah, now that's going to become a thing. Yeah.
That's the thing. There you go.
Check this out. It says, I'm pretty sure something is following my mother.
Uh-oh.
She had a really hard childhood and life. Every house we've lived in, something has happened. I never really thought about anything of it. At the time, I was scared of things that happened. But as I got older, I realized that my sister, who is 10 years older than I am, and I had a few experiences when we weren't living with her, her meaning my mother. In my sister's childhood home, they had a hallway that spanned the whole house. Every night, her and my brother would hear footsteps walking down the hall. Not just your typical creaks in the night that could be explained away as a house just settling, but heavy, workmanlike footsteps. They even gave him a nickname. They ended up calling him Mr. Stompy. He never came into the kids' rooms. He'd pause out the front of the door, but then continue on his way. Anyone who stayed over in the house heard him. My uncle ended up refusing to stay over anymore after hearing it a few times. And even then, if he came over to hang out with my mom, if they were up late, they'd hear the stomping on the roof instead. When my Nan stayed over, they also heard it. My sister would call out to her and say, and my Nan, I guess is her grandmother, would tell her to be quiet, and he would stop. The only person that ever had Mr. Stompy come into their room was my mother. She heard him one night walk right up to her bed, and she was paralyzed by fear. She laid there with her back to him, hoping he would go away. He just stood there for a while, and then she felt a weight on the bed and breathed in her hair. She jerked up, but she said there was nothing there. Actually, that's not entirely true. My sister found my brother crawling out of their big linen cupboard one morning when she got up. She laughed and asked him, "What are you doing in there?" And he told her that Mr. Stompy had come into his room and carried him in there. However, my brother was diagnosed with schizophrenia when he was in his teens, so take that story however you want. I'm personally inclined to think it was a delusion, but my sister leans more towards the belief that because he apparently wasn't confused when he was younger. Fast forward to a house I was living in during childhood, and I had a couple of main experiences. One time I was cleaning up my room, and I saw a pile of clothes that I was folding, hover just over the dresser before they fell to the floor. Another time my cat had gotten pregnant and she was giving birth, I saw a dark shadow cross the window beside my room to the back door that was next to the bathroom. In the morning, I learned that none of the kittens had survived. The house in my teenage years, we moved around a lot, I used to hear someone creeping through the house. It was a heritage home. We lived in Ontario with floating floorboards. So I don't think anything of it at first, but when I realized the creaking would consistently stop at my door, I got more alert as the security wasn't great there. I saw shadows under the door, like when you can see someone on the other side just before they come in. Again, nothing ever came into my room, but my mom saw depressions form on her bed several times and had someone touch her hair while we were staying there. In my early 20s, my mom moved in with my sister to get on top of some financial stuff. While living together, my sister would see shadows crossing into the children's rooms. Thinking it was her husband or my mom, she'd get up to check and make sure everything was okay. There was never anybody in the room, and the children would all be sound asleep. I saw one twice as well when I stayed there for a while over my university break. Again, you'd hear someone creeping through the hallway at night. The house was linoleum on concrete, and having babies to look after, it would draw your attention immediately. They'd walk down to your room, then it was like you could hear them shifting their weight as they stood there. A few times in that house, my nephew, who was just talking at the time, would wake up screaming and crying. If you've had any experience with kids, you know the cry I'm talking about. The one where you get out of bed running before the blanket's even off you. My sister would find nothing in the room and try to settle him down. He'd tell her, in little English as he knew, the man, or he was scared, or the closet. She had to show him the closet was empty before he would start to settle. My sister has no experiences in her new house since she's not living with my mom. And I've had a couple, but nothing like I did when I was living with her, and they're all pretty explainable. DG. So my question is, is there something attached to my mother? So, you know, that's a good question, DG. It seems like it. There are people that claim to have something attached to them. It doesn't matter where you move. Mm-hmm. It comes along. This is exactly why I constantly preach about I don't want to go on any ghost hunts, because I don't want something attaching itself to me,
yeah,
and terrorizing me and my family for the rest of my life. How do you get rid of it? Do you have to do a seance? You have to burn sage?
Well, it's funny that it seems to attach itself to one, but not everybody.
Right? Yeah,
it's
the mother.
It's almost like it, but it's not like everybody gets an addition. It's almost like certain people, like you and I have discussed, we all know people, and we discussed this multiple times, that seem to be tuned in more. It does seem to be like those people,
sure,
almost get jumped more by this stuff than anything else.
Yeah, I agree.
It's almost better to be an idiot like you and I are. So things don't really attach itself, because it'd be real bored if it attached itself.
Right.
To us.
Yeah, exactly. It wouldn't, like, you know, like, what did her mother do to get this thing attached to her?
Yeah.
Was her mother into witchcraft or something that she wasn't aware of? Was her mother into ghost hunting? Is that a past loved one? Like, it's just simply her dad that's following her?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, like, what is it?
There's so many.
Nobody's talking about anything violent happening. No. It's not scratching her and
just
breaking stuff. It just gets close and breathes on her hair, sits on the bed, walks around the house and checks on everybody almost.
What if it was a pet? It just was in a different form.
Well, maybe. But she said it sounded like a large workman, yeah, like with boots on.
Man, I don't know what it could be.
Scary. It's still scary, I mean, because it's just creepy.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, 100%.
You've heard the stories where people think it's a ghost and then mm-hmm. it turns out there's like someone living in their attic.
Oh, God.
And it's a real person.
Dude, that is crazy.
Oh, it is terrifying.
The idea that, first of all, man, the stones on a fella to hide in somebody's attic. First of all, too, it's probably not going to happen here.
No, but
it's like 185.
Whenever you're right, whenever it's happened, obviously it's not in a hot attic.
Yeah.
I think it's somebody with like a large mental or drug problem. But both. It's creepy.
Both.
I mean, you've heard the stories where like the guy goes to work and comes home and like half the lunch meat's gone and stuff. And he's like, well, I don't remember making that.
Yeah.
Buys more food. And this keeps happening. He's like, well, finally put some secret cameras in there. And like the dude comes out of the attic, makes him a sandwich, lives his best life and goes back. That's creepy.
Would you hunt him?
Yeah. Well,
you know
what I'm saying? I'd like to say that I would. You know, it's easy to be a tough guy. But
like, I mean, just like hide, like make him think you're gone, you're leaving. And then you just wait for him to come down?
Yeah, that's a bit. Probably.
Or would you go up there? Like, how would you react?
I'd probably be scared.
Or would you just call the cops?
Yeah, I'd be like, I ain't messing with it. I'd probably call the cops. Only because there's
you
like
you wouldn't make a plate of brownies with like nothing but like laxatives and leave that in there where you're just wrecking him while he's up there in your attic.
Now, see, like, you're evil. See, like, no, my brain doesn't work that way.
You could just stop with my brain doesn't work. Leave that way off the end.
Yeah. Anyways, let's take a break, okay. Folks. And we get back from the break, we can talk a little bit more. You stick with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. Cool stories, creepy stories.
Oh, there's so many. I've got piles. We could keep going.
Well, I think
that's what makes it so great.
I think we should probably do it again next week.
Yeah, because everybody just keeps piling them on us.
They keep coming in. And they're strange. And I like the array, right? Like you got missing time.
Yes.
You got ghosts. You got flying mantis beings. You got Tinkerbell.
I got a story sent to me that a guy was sharing that said it happened to him and his grandparents whenever he was a young man.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say young man, I think he was like 11, between 11 and 14, right around in there, he said. But he was riding with his grandfather. Grandfather was driving, grandmother. He was in the front seat, grandmother in the back seat. No, I'm sorry. He was in the front with his grandpa. She was in the back. Said they're coming home one evening, and he was talking about how the grandpa's headlights hit something on the side of the road. And at first he said he saw this guy stand up and he was like, oh, this dude might need some help. It's like 1 a.m. They're coming back from wherever they're coming back from. They're still a hot minute from the house. And so the grandpa goes to slowing down. And the grandmother's like, ooh, I don't know about this. And as they get closer where it lights up, this dude turns. He's covered in gore, in blood.
Oh, Lord.
Standing over a road-killed deer. So, like, it looks like he's cutting it up is what it's saying.
Yeah.
Except as they get close, he's holding part of it, and he's got blood all over his face where he's eating part of it while they pull up. So said the grandpa gets real close and rolls the window, like, cracks it to ask if he needs some help, and that's when the guy moves in into the lights. And what they see is, like, yeah, it's a guy, but it looks like it could be, like, a humanoid. Like, it's a man, but like a wild man, but he's dressed.
Yeah.
And so they just punch it and take off.
Yeah, I don't
leave the dude. And they were like, here's the crazy thing. Dude, it's like 40 miles from any town where they were at. Like if there's a house they were talking about out in there I don't even know if he said what town or what state they were in. But I was like, could you imagine driving along? And we've done stories about this where you've seen people on the side of the road.
Yes.
In the middle of nowhere.
No, that's terrifying.
Like, where are you going, right? But to see it like that, like eating whatever it was, yeah, is very, very disturbing.
Yeah. Speaking of disturbing, I know a lot of people have been emailing us this photograph from outside of the Amarillo Zoo.
Yes.
The crazy.
The werewolf, the dog man.
The dog man that's on there. Man, I've seen that, and I know a lot of people wanted our opinions of it. And at first, I thought it was something like trying to climb up the fence. But then when you, like, if you zoom in on it, it looks like the dude from Guardians of the Galaxy, the raccoon-looking guy, you know what I'm talking about, the trash panda?
Yeah, but it looks a little taller. What is it, about 5 foot?
Well, it's hard to tell.
It is hard to tell.
But, I mean, I don't know what that is. The problem, and this isn't anybody's problem, but mine maybe, is how good, if you watch, like, Benny Productions or guys like that, people can do stuff with Photoshop that it's hard for me to look at any photograph anymore and believe it's real, because I know how easy those guys that are really good with that stuff can fake stuff.
And if you need to make it where it's just a little undiscernible, it's probably a lot easier than what those guys build in Photoshop, right? Because they'll take and do composite pictures and it's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. Like I said, if you want to go on YouTube and look up Benny Productions and just watch what this young kid can do.
He's unbelievable
with Photoshop.
He does.
You can take a picture of yourself and send it to him and say, hey, I want to be in a zombie battlefield or something. And he'll create the whole thing.
Yep.
And it looks, I mean, it's amazing. So when you see photographs, stills, like this, I'd like to believe it's real, but I know that Benny could do that easily.
Okay, so let's just say for the fact it's real. Well, then what the heck's it doing at the zoo? And not just that, but in Amarillo. Like, where are you hiding that up in there? You better be hiding in drainage ditches, bro, because there is nothing up around there.
No, it's flat.
You like dust and wind and like Cadillac cranes?
You like Cadillac stuck in the dirt and spray paint all over them?
Yeah,
right. I mean, that's all it's up there.
You like the big he's hiding behind the Big Tech Steakhouse.
That's right.
Only thing. Yeah. So, yeah, there's that.
Me and Luke this afternoon are going to see the new Jurassic World.
Ooh.
He is fired up, man.
I bet he's going crazy.
He is going crazy. He always goes crazy. You've been to him when we go to like Godzilla movies or something. He's amped up. He's already asking me questions like, what do you think's going to happen?
I hope he never loses that.
It'll go,
but it's still, I don't know. You and I get excited for movies.
That's true.
I mean, look how giddy we are about Prey.
Yeah, I know. I've been posting it and stuff. You've been sharing it with me.
Gosh.
It looks really, really cool. I hope it's that good. But that's pretty cool. If you have any cool stories you'd like to share with me and Cam, please do not hesitate. Email the show, expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can call the hotline, 888-393-2783. Hope everybody has a good week. Till next time, I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.